to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You've been researching this area, the combination of young children and technology?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a number of years, actually. Yeah. I do the research in childcare centres, in schools, and now I'm doing research in families' homes around New South Wales, just trying to get a good ground understanding of what's happening and how we can build on it so that children are really advantaged in the use of technology.
Now, is this part of a PhD or you've done the PhD already?
No, thank God I've done the PhD already.
Okay, all right. Well, I should have called you Dr. Orlando, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
You'll have to forgive me. Now, the first myth that you try to bust, traditional play is best for young children.
That's right. So we know that traditional play and playing in a playground and playing with balls and blocks and all those old-fashioned toys are great for children in lots of ways. But there's no research that tells us that only playing with these old-fashioned toys has any advantage for children. There's lots of good gains that can be made by a blend of both the traditional toys and, you know, on-screen tech-based play.
Okay, so when you think about the old-fashioned toys, and we've talked about, you know, getting on push bikes, all of those sorts of things, yes, they are important, but it's not to say they're necessarily the be-all and end-all today.
No, that's right, because children need to develop today's skills
as
well.
Yes, yes.
So we've got lots of great toys that we know that are creative and children can do lots of things with them. But there's lots of great age-appropriate apps that children can use. Some new ones around Sega, Mini Toolbox, Play Kids. You know, good quality content for young children to play with.
And this is, I suppose, in many respects, just another way of delivering those items.
Yeah, that's right. That's how you think of it. So that blend of normal outside play plus a blend of technology play and then crossing over with each other as well is like the ideal way to approach teaching and children learning.
Now, what about the second myth you've looked at? All screen time is bad.
Oh, yeah, that's always an issue. I'm a parent myself, so I completely understand where everyone's coming from.
Yeah.
We're very worried of how much time our children spend on screen. You know, the screen is so enticing for children, adults as well. But the recommendations that are used right now for children are based on those that were developed in the 1990s, so nearly 30 years ago. So we need to, first of all, update those recommendations, but also to think of it's not so much how much time children spend on screen, but the sorts of things they're doing
right
when they're on there.
And is that right? So we haven't actually had any decent research done for 20 or 30 years when it comes to TV viewing in kids.
No, well, there has been research done,
yeah,
but the guidelines that are developed is based on research done in the early 90s, ages ago.
Yeah, okay, so it's not really relevant for today. And look, again, I suppose, you know, I mean, growing up we'd wanted to, you know, limit the amount of time kids sat in front of TV. Well, now it's not just a TV screen, but it's also the screen of iPads, and you've got to deal, you know, treat that the same way.
That's right. Well, in some ways it's a little bit different. We need to think of how much time children are actually spending on screen because we want them to have a balanced life.
Yes.
That's really important. But you also need to think how much of that time is spent just passively viewing as opposed to how much time might be on an app where they're problem solving or reading stories or playing games, learning to make things. That's important as well.
What about where they're used as a child minding service? Often if you're out and about, you'll see parents with kids and often they'll have the kids head down on an iPad. You see that glow on their faces because the parents figure, well, you know, this is a nice way of us enjoying a meal while the kids are amused for a while. Good, bad, indifferent?
No, I think that's a really good point, and it happens all the time. Mm. And I think occasionally it's okay, but if we're constantly doing it as parents, day after day, you know, they call it the hand-back process. You know, you hand back your mobile to the child.
Yes, yes.
If that's constantly happening, it's teaching the child, one, it's not developing their social skills if they're out and about at a restaurant or cafe or something, but it's also teaching them the idea that what they have to say is not important. You keep quiet. You know, you just play on the screen. We don't want to engage with you or have a conversation with you. But you have to think of these underlying messages when you're doing these sorts of things as well.
Well, I had a friend in Melbourne who'd given me an iPhone. I think it's the 4S. Now, I hadn't upgraded from one of the older type phones. My eldest boy, who's almost seven, he was at me and at me and at me. Oh, Dad, when are you going to get your phone fixed up? When are you getting your phone fixed up? And I knew it wasn't his concern for me being hauled into the 21st century. He was keen to get hold of the games on the phone because that phone is a much newer model than the old thing that I had.
No, I'm having the same thing at home as well. I think we all do. So the children have this underlying sort of reason to encourage you to get new technology. And you can see with children, their skills in using technology just come so naturally.
Well, that's right. Look, I see him, you know, he got hold of this the other day and he's flicking through. I mean, I'm still sort of navigating my way around it. He's flicking through. He knew where the various icons were. It's incredible, which I suppose brings us to myth three. When you say technology inhibits social skills, you say that's wrong.
Well, when computers first came out and children started using them, there was lots of worry that a child would be in front of a screen, not talk to anyone, just be, you know, by themselves on the screen. But there's been lots of research since then that's shown, in fact, the opposite happens. When children are together using an iPad or on a screen, they're often talking a lot, doing things collaboratively. And we know that they're really important skills for today's society. They're sort of like new skills. And things like texting, being able to communicate your ideas by technology, they're all really important skills that we need to think of when we think of social skills as well.
And so, again, you say that the fundamentals of collaboration, of teamwork, of social setting, it's all as it always was, albeit perhaps at times in a slightly different setting.
Yeah, slightly different setting. And, you know, when you're communicating on a screen, you have to be very careful in how you use your words so that they're not misinterpreted.
Yes.
So all those skills need to be...
Well, that's right. Context is important. Mind you, I find, you know, that people who, you know, particularly look at Twitter, which we're talking about older people now, but, you know, people will tend to say things on Twitter or in text messages that they would probably never be game to say if they were talking to the person face-to-face.
That's right. I think the screen is a bit of a protection for us.
Yes.
We lose our shyness in some ways with it as well. So we need to be careful of that too, and to teach children that as well.